You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.
Well, it's time for another Medical Frontier show. This is Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer on this Monday evening, and this weather has really been miserable for a couple of weeks here.
Got Rob? A little bit of warmth. We sure have. Hopefully it's going to cool. It's supposed to be in the 80s the rest of the week, so I can live with that.
Yeah, for there for a while, our temperatures were much higher than Florida. So it's crazy.
It is.
It's like we didn't have a beach. That's the only thing. Okay, Medical Frontiers tonight, we're going to be talking about migraines. Migraine headaches, a very common problem in our population here in the United States, and we're very fortunate to have an expert. She is an expert in headaches and all sorts of headaches. We're going to be primarily talking about migraine headaches tonight, but if you want to ask questions about other headaches, you certainly can do it because the expert is right here in the studio. And she is none other than Dr. Megan Pichinen. And I had to work on that. That's Italian, and all those C's in there.
Yes.
They're not really pronounced like C's.
No. It's more like fettuccine, but it
yeah, there
is
you
actually,
go. Fettuccine.
It's Italian for the little one,
but
like a piccolo.
Pichinen. Yeah. Okay. And she's from Canada, and she had some of her training in Pittsburgh, some of her training in Cleveland, and she loves Pittsburgh, and she's been in practice just shy of a year, and we're glad to have her at AHN and in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and
happy to be here.
And welcome to Medical Frontiers.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Dr. Pfeiffer. Okay. Looking forward to our discussion.
Headaches.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of interesting. When somebody says they have a headache, you can't really tell that they do. Say a run-of-the-mill headache, and so there's no way to prove whether or not they have a headache. But migraines are different. It's a different type of headache, and you make that diagnosis basically by the patient's history. Is that right?
That's exactly right. So, okay. I mean, migraines, headache, any type of headache really is, we consider it an invisible illness. There's no real outward signs, outward symptoms that someone is suffering, but they can be suffering immensely. Despite not being visible to people around them. And there's over 200 different types of headaches, and there's no test.
200?
Over 200, yes.
Wow.
And yeah. There's no,
the head's not that big.
I know, but there's a lot of different forms that a headache can present with, and they all have different treatments, and there's no test to tell one type of headache versus another. So it all really relies on the patient's history and them being able to tell us kind of exactly what symptoms they are experiencing. Because as you said, there's no way for me to look at someone and tell exactly what type of headache or what symptoms that they're having.
And it's kind of interesting. Neurologists take care of all sorts of patients with neurologic problems, you know, progressive neurologic diseases, strokes, what have you.
Right.
And I asked you before the show, what percentage of your practice is with headaches? And you said 100%.
100%.
So every patient you see has a headache problem.
Yes,
you know?
Correct.
And the incidence of migraines, how much of the population is affected by a migraine? What percentage?
So it's very, very common. About 12% of people suffer from migraines. That number is closer to 17 to 21% in women and closer to 6% in men. So it's a very common disease, but it's a much more common disease in women.
Do we know why? Is that a hormonal thing because there happen to be women? Is it thought to be because of their hormones? Or
Right. So it's thought that the estrogen fluctuations play a big role in the development of migraines. It's certainly not the only cause. But we do see that, especially once women go through menopause, that their migraines do tend to kind of settle down and go back to a similar incidence to that of men at that age.
And sometimes they are accompanied with the menstrual period.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Do they have migraines prior to or during or after or something like that? There seems to be some connection in some women.
Right, right. Yes. So in a lot of women that do tend to find that their migraines tend to be more severe, longer lasting, harder to treat during the time, the couple days before and through their menstrual cycle. And we also find that in pregnancy, migraines actually tend to improve as well.
So there's a change in the hormone environment with pregnancy and so on.
Exactly. The change in the hormonal milieu kind of can drive migraines and can also help prevent them during pregnancy.
And how about after the pregnancy, if a mother is breastfeeding, does that sometimes help too?
Unfortunately not.
No.
And we tend to find that postpartum, kind of after the big hormone dump, migraines tend to come back kind of with a vengeance about to where they were prior to pregnancy.
Okay. Let's say you see a 35-year-old woman who comes in with a headache. And what in the history that the woman would give you would lead you to believe that this is a migraine?
So there's certain diagnostic features of migraine, and I'll kind of run through them. You don't have to have every single one of these, but you have to have enough of these to make the diagnosis. Migraines are usually one-sided, throbbing or pulsating in nature, moderate to severe in intensity, so probably 4 to 5 out of 10 or higher on a pain 1 out of 10 pain scale, and they have to be aggravated by kind of routine physical activity. Feels better to lay down and rest than to do kind of your usual activities. And they have to be associated with nausea or vomiting or light and sound sensitivity. So those are the key features that I'm looking for when I'm trying to make a diagnosis of, is this headache a migraine or is this some other type of headache?
There's not a test that you could do to see if somebody has a migraine.
There's unfortunately no test that can tell us. So we are really reliant on patients giving us an accurate description. I tell a lot of patients that come into my clinic, keep a headache diary, write it down, write a log, so that when you come in, we can better treat you. If you can't tell me kind of what symptoms you're having, I'm a little limited in terms of what I can do for you.
Okay. And electroencephalogram does not show any difference?
Does not capture.
Okay.
Does not capture.
MRI? No.
Sometimes you can get small little dots on the brain called gliosis in certain areas. That can be caused by a lot of different things. So it's not really a slam dunk for migraines, but sometimes in patients that have had long-standing chronic migraines for years, we can see small abnormalities on the MRI that don't have any clinical significance, don't impact patient's function or brain health in any way.
And no blood test?
No blood test.
Okay. And runs in families? Genetic predisposition?
Right. So there is a very strong genetic component to migraines. If one of your parents has migraines, you have about 50% chance of having migraines. If both your parents have migraines, you have about 90% chance.
Wow.
So there's a high rate of heritability with it. It's not one specific gene, but it is a cluster of genes that make one person more predisposed to having headaches.
What's the youngest person you have seen with a migraine?
2 years old.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. In a 2-year-old, not much verbal, but
he gave me a very good description of where the headache hurt, that the lights bothered him, that it was like thumping or pounding. So I was actually able to make a very good, accurate diagnosis.
Well, that's great. That's great. Okay, well, this is Medical Frontiers. We need to take a break. We're talking about migraines tonight, so give us a call, 866-391-1020. Our guest this evening is Dr. Pechenin, so give us a call, 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back on Medical Frontiers. Our subject tonight is migraines. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. We have a headache specialist in the studio tonight, Dr. Megan Beechinen. So she is ready for your calls, 866-391-1020. We were talking during the break that sometimes people sort of know that they're working up to having a migraine.
Right.
And sometimes there's a prodrome, and sometimes they actually have an aura about them, too. And is that important? Are there things that can be done during that pre-migraine that will make it less severe?
Yes, that's a great question, actually. There is some evidence that some abortive migraine medications that you take as needed when you have a migraine can be effective in the pre-headache phase of migraine, and specifically Ubrogepant or Ubrelvy is a newer medication that has come out that has shown efficacy when you, taken at the first sign of a migraine before the head pain even hits. And there's also, it can also be used to, if you know that every time you fly, plane travel, that triggers a migraine. Sometimes we use taking Ubrelvy in advance of that known trigger to prevent it. Or we also use it around menstrual migraines taken in advance to help try to prevent the menstrual migraine. So there's a lot of signs that can be considered warning signs or a prodrome for migraine. Sometimes increased yawning, just generally feeling sluggish, light sound sensitivity. And we were talking during the break about a lot of people think chocolate is a trigger for their migraines. But actually a craving for chocolate is actually one of the prodromal symptoms. So a lot of people think they eat the chocolate and that triggers the migraine, but actually the migraine was going to happen regardless of whether you ate the chocolate or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Are there some foods that trigger, like caffeine, you know, that spicy foods or anything like that? Are there some foods that will trigger a migraine in somebody who has been diagnosed with migraine?
Right. So there are some foods. Usually by the time patients see me, a lot of them have tried elimination diets, or if they have a food that they think causes migraines, they've tried cutting it out themselves. Caffeine can help treat migraines, actually, if you have one, but can also cause rebound headaches if you use it too much. Other things like MSG, nitrates, aged cheeses, deli meats, those are kind of the big ones that I see that trigger migraines.
So some of the things that are used in processing foods can...
Right.
It can trigger, like it can, and even digestive problems and that type of thing too, you know. So,
right.
So, do most patients, do you get down to the point where they really know what their triggers are and try to stay away from them? Is that all part of the treatment plan?
Right. So a lot of patients can identify some triggers, but not every migraine has an identifiable trigger. So if it's something that is avoidable, I had one patient that every time she ate Parmesan cheese, she would have a migraine. So, I mean, that's something that is pretty easy to substitute or cut out.
You don't need that every day.
right. But some things like stress or bright lights, some things that just can't really avoid, you know, try to minimize as much as we can. But some triggers are just going to be unavoidable, unfortunately.
How about sounds? Real loud sounds like sirens, firecrackers, that type of thing. Can that be a trigger?
Yeah. Loud sounds. Like I said, bright lights, flashing lights, strong smells, those are all common triggers for migraines as well.
Do people who have migraines, do they suffer from they just don't get enough sleep because they have this pain and it's difficult for them to sleep?
Yeah, I would say it's kind of a chicken and the egg situation. Poor sleep can cause migraines, but also when you have migraines or head pain, you're not going to sleep well either. And migraines are comorbid with a lot of psychiatric disorders, anxiety, depression, insomnia, and other sleep disorders like insomnia. So it kind of is a chicken or the egg situation of which one came first. But a lot of the medications that we use to treat migraines can also affect sleep, sometimes for better or for worse. So we do try to kind of target treatment to optimize kind of other symptoms that you're having too.
How about in the work environment? Let's say you have a patient who has severe migraines, you know, fairly frequently. Let's say it's a woman who usually has some migraine symptoms with her menstrual periods and not able to function at work because it's so severe.
Right.
Are companies somewhat lenient and a little empathetic with a woman who needs to take a few days off because of a migraine, or does that cause big problems in the work environment?
Right. So I'll say empathetic is probably not the right word for these companies. A lot of companies are willing to provide accommodations. I'm happy. I always fill out, you know, FMLA forms or other workplace accommodations saying, you know, this individual needs to keep a water bottle close at hand, or need to have access to their medications, or have a blue light filter on their screen. But migraines are actually the second leading cause of disability, years lived with disability globally, low back pain, because it really does affect people that are otherwise in the primes of their lives. You know, primarily between 20 to 45 years old is where most of our patients are, and that's the age where patients should be, you know, going to school, work, having a social life, a family. So it really does have a big impact on patients' quality of life.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think we as a society, you know, there's collateral damage too, just being in the family. Mm-hmm. When mom can't do anything because, she has a headache, migraine.
Right.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, we need to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. And this is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about migraine headaches primarily this evening with Dr. Megan Pichinen. And Dr. Pichinen is a neurologist with AHN, does her primary work at West Penn Hospital, also goes out to Washington a couple times a month. Give us a call, 866-391-1020.
Medical Frontiers is an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network.
Okay, we're back for another segment of Medical Frontiers. We're talking about migraines, and we have a very special guest. She is an expert in headaches, and especially migraines, Dr. Pichinen. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. Yeah, you can get in the queue. We have a couple calls now. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're on.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms. For more.
Our first caller.
Hi, Dr. Pichinen. When should someone stop trying home remedies and finally see a neurologist about their headaches?
That's a great question, Jeff. So I think really any time that the headaches are starting to affect someone's quality of life. Some patients have migraines that are responsive to just Excedrin, Tylenol, Advil at home. But in a lot of cases, that's not enough. And getting on a prescription treatment can certainly benefit in terms of stopping the migraine in its tracks. And also, if you're using these medications, over-the-counter pain meds, too often, it can cause rebound headaches if you use it more than 2 or 3 days per month, per week. So if you're finding that you're having frequent migraines, frequent headaches, or the over-the-counter pain medications aren't doing it for you, I would definitely recommend making an appointment with a neurologist or a headache specialist, or at least reaching out to your PCP to get on prescription treatment that can help kind of restore your quality of life.
And the way you can make appointments is go to ahn.org or by phone, 412-DOCTORS, and just tell them you would like to tell them what your problem is, and you would like to see, if you want to say specifically, you would like to see Dr. Pichinen, you can do that, and they'll set up an appointment for you. Okay?
Thanks.
Okay, Jeff, does that answer your question? Okay. Thank you very much for the call. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Jesse. Jesse is our next caller. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hello, everyone. I was calling because I have dogs, and dogs are a trigger for my allergies, that are a trigger for my headaches that led to migraines. Currently managing on like the home remedy stuff that Jeff just mentioned, but I also have rescue medications like the Nurtec and Imitrex. Is there a specific like allergy, you know, recommendation that you have? Because the dogs aren't going anywhere, so I need to figure it out.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no kind of specific preventative treatment for migraines that are triggered by allergies, your best bet would be seeing an ENT or an allergist to work on kind of regimens to either desensitize you or prevent the allergies from occurring. But from a headache standpoint, we can also start a daily preventative medication to try to get the number of headaches that you're having down, kind of regardless of the cause. And while the dogs might certainly be triggering some of your migraines, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're triggering all of your migraines. So it might be worthwhile to start a preventative medication for the migraines, regardless of the trigger, and keep the dogs around.
Okay.
Okay.
That answer.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call, Jesse, and good luck to you. 866-391-1020 is how you can ask your questions or experts this evening. 866-391-1020. You haven't been in practice that long. You've had a lot of training and so on. But in that short period of time, have there been some improvements in the treatment available for people with migraines?
Right. So I think probably in the last 5 to 10 years, there's been a lot of new medications that have come out down the pipeline. Like Jesse was mentioning, the Nurtec, as I mentioned before, Ubrelvy or Ubrogepant. We have a lot of treatments targeted towards a molecule called CGRP that's involved in the development of migraines, not in everyone with migraines, but in a large proportion. And there's been some other new medications come out, or drugs that have made old medications new again. There's Symbravo, which is a combination of rizatriptan and meloxicam that's used as needed to treat migraines. There's also Trudhesa, which is a nasal spray containing ergotamine or DHE, which is a really old medication that works really well for migraines, but is usually administered through an IV, which has a lot of side effects and needs to be done in a hospital. There's also Ergomar, which is a sublingual version of DHE that dissolves under the tongue. Brekia, which is an auto injector, so that you can administer subcutaneous DHE at home, as well as an abortive. And there's some new medications coming out down the pipeline that are in clinical trials targeting a different molecule called ACAP.
Patches available?
There's no patches.
Okay.
No patches. There are some patches like scopolamine that are available that can help with nausea, which is commonly associated with migraines. But there are no other real patches that we're using commonly.
Okay. Botox.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about Botox.
Yes. My favorite.
Okay. Has been found to be beneficial in a fairly large number of people.
Right. So Botox can be used for prevention of chronic migraine, which is at least 15 headache days a month, of which at least 8 of those have to be migraine headaches. So you can have some other headaches mixed in there too, but you need to have an average of about 2 migraine days a week to qualify for Botox.
That's a lot of migraines.
It's a lot of migraines. 15, it's 15. About 2% of the population has chronic migraine, so it would meet those criteria. Insurance usually requires that you have tried and failed some of the other oral medications first. But once we get to the point of first-line treatments aren't really working, still having frequent migraines, Botox is a really good option for kind of next-line treatment. So Botox is 31 injections administered around all over the head, neck, and upper shoulders. Sounds like a lot. It is a lot, but we use the smallest needle that they make, and it's over in about 5 or 10 minutes. And it's done every 3 months. But most patients think that those 5 or 10 minutes of multiple injections are well worth it for months of good headache control.
And how long does it take to have that number of injections to help the migraine?
Maybe 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
For the procedure. Yeah. Patients are able to come in, drive themselves back home immediately after.
Okay.
We consider a good response to Botox about a 50% reduction in the number of headaches you're having. It's not a total cure, but the goal is to get the number down and the severity down and make them more responsive to abortive treatment. Mm-hmm. After the first round of injections, about 50% of people get there. After the second round, another 50% of what's left get there. And after the third round, another 50% of what's left get there. So overall, about 80% of patients have a very good response to Botox, 50% reduction in their headaches. And a lot of the patients I see actually do much better than that.
And that would go from a pain scale of 10 to 5 would be 50% improvement, right?
Right, right. Yeah. We usually ask kind of the number of migraine days going from 15 headache days a month and 8 migraine days a month to
Three or four or five. Yeah.
And you know, I have some patients that have 25 to 30 migraine days a month. So, you know, we're still trying. The goal is to get about 50% reduction, but a lot of these patients do a lot better than that.
Are there some patients who are permanently disabled because of migraines?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't like to use the word permanently disabled, but I do have a lot of patients that aren't able to function or go about their normal daily activities because the migraines are so debilitating. And I don't like to use the word permanent because we have a lot of treatments we can try restore that function.
Right. But there may be periods of time where they can't work at all because of their symptoms.
Yeah. Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. We need to take our last break. This is Medical Frontiers. We're talking about migraine headaches this evening. Give us a call, 866-391-1020. And remember, you can always make an appointment by going to 412-DOCTORS or ahn.org. Our guest this evening is Dr. Pichinen. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. We'll be back. Okay, we're back for our last segment of Medical Frontiers, talking about headaches tonight, especially migraines. And we have a couple people in the queue. Let's go to John. John, you're our next caller. Do you have a question?
Yes, doctors. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I may be repetitive because I just turned on and heard what you're talking about. So I have a few questions. My wife has been suffering with migraines for quite some time. They seem to come in spells. She'll go for a long time without getting them. And then she'll have a couple. Now, my daughter, who's in her 40s, has recently started suffering with migraines. So first thing I want to ask you, how does migraines affect vision and your eyes? Is there any prophylactic medication for migraines? And does caffeine help a migraine? And lastly, is excessive dilation of blood vessels in the brain cause migraines?
Okay, four questions.
Yes,
okay.
Great questions. So well, I'll start with the last question first. The dilation of blood vessels in the brain is part of the development of a migraine, but it's not necessarily the triggering factor. And Dr. Pfeiffer and I were talking about this earlier, that we don't really know exactly what triggers migraines, what initially drives the circuit, but it goes through an area of the brain stem that gets all of the sensory nerves from everywhere in the head and the neck. And then that's called the trigeminocervical complex. And from there, that sends nerves that go to the blood vessels, that go to the pain processing regions of the brain, and to the meninges, which is the covering of the brain. And that whole process causes dilation of the blood vessels in the brain. So it's not the first part of the migraine cascade, but it is definitely part of the development of migraines.
Okay.
And caffeine can help narrow those blood vessels, which is why it can be helpful in treating migraines. But you also have to be careful not to drink too much caffeine or use too much caffeine, because that can cause rebound headaches as the caffeine wears off. So I usually recommend limiting to no more than 200 milligrams of caffeine per day, which is,
okay,
I think an average cup of coffee is probably about 60 to 100, unless you're getting a grande smoky chocolate from Starbucks or something with triple espresso, which is going to be a little bit more. There's a lot of preventative medications for migraines. We usually start with oral medications that were initially designed for other reasons, but they found they work well for preventing migraines. There are certain blood pressure medications, certain anti-seizure medications at much lower doses than they use for seizures, certain antidepressant, anti-anxiety medications. And from there, there's also Botox. There's also injectable medications that target the CGRP receptor that can be involved in the development of migraines. So there's a lot of different options, and it's very much tailored to the individual patient, what other medical conditions that you have, what other symptoms that you're suffering from, kind of how we choose which one of those many medication options.
And how about the eyes? How does it affect the eyes?
Right. So kind of in a couple different ways. Part of migraine is photosensitivity, just kind of the body being generally more sensitive to all different inputs, whether that's lights, sounds, smell, kind of stomach, GI inputs causing nausea, vestibular motion sensitivity. So you become more sensitive to everything, including bright lights. And that's part of the development of a migraine. About 30% of patients with migraines have an aura, which usually is visual. So they can get changes in their vision that come on before the actual head pain starts and can be can serve as kind of a warning sign.
Yeah, she says she's getting a visual migraine. She'll actually lose part of her vision.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like blacked out. Does that sound right?
Yes, yeah, that sounds about right. So some people describe it as TV static, zigzags, kaleidoscope vision, kind of a gray spot or a black spot in the center of the vision that kind of moves around. And that's caused by a wave of neuronal activity in the occipital lobes at the back of the brain, which actually control vision.
Okay. Now, can your primary doctor fairly well control migraines?
I'll say it depends. It depends. Primary care doctors are responsible for a lot. And, you know, in the time that a primary care doctor spends in one of their appointments, I spend that amount of time just talking about a patient's migraines or a patient's headaches. So it's certainly possible for a primary care doctor to do a good job and get you on the right treatment. But they also have to cover a lot in that time frame. So sometimes it's better to see a dedicated headache specialist that can spend the time and focus on that one specific issue. But that's not to say that a primary care doctor cannot also do a good job either. We all have access to the same medications.
All right. One last question just popped into my mind. Does blood pressure medication have any effect on migraines?
There are certain blood pressure medications that can help prevent migraines. Beta blocker medications, those are like propranolol, metoprolol, carvedilol, or Coreg can all help prevent migraines. Candesartan can also help prevent migraines. So those are some options that I usually recommend if a patient has high blood pressure, and we're also trying to address their migraines at the same time.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the information. Thank you very much.
No problem. Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to our last caller, Teresa. Teresa, do you have a question?
I do have a question. A couple weeks ago, I ended up in the emergency room, and my first symptom and what got me there was it was dark, and we were driving home, and I was getting this, it was to the left side of me, it was like a gold drop. And I kept thinking light was shining through the moon roof. But here, when we got home and I got out of the car, I kept seeing it. And we had just had dinner, and I never had anything like that ever happen to me before. I ended up in the emergency room. They tested me for everything, heart, stroke. And here they said migraines. I followed up the next, on the Monday, with an eye doctor, and he also said migraines. And I had some head pain, but nothing major. I noticed that those visual disturbances or whatever they are, it happens when it's dark if I turn my head to the left. But I really don't have sometimes I will get a headache, but not, I wouldn't consider, I don't know what a migraine is, but okay, they're telling me I'm having migraines all of a sudden.
Okay, we're running out of time, but try to capsulize this, doctor.
Right, so we can, to be diagnosed officially with migraine with aura, you have to have at least 5 episodes. So the fact that this just only happened once, I can't say for sure that this is a migraine aura or this is not. I would certainly recommend doing what you've done and kind of ruling out other causes like a stroke and seeing your eye doctor and make sure there's no abnormalities of the eyes that are causing the symptoms. But after only a single episode, I can't really make a diagnosis of migraine aura. This is definitely worthy of concern, and I would recommend following up with your neurologist or seeing one of us at the headache clinic to kind of go through your symptoms in more detail.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. We're out of time. I want to thank you for being our guest tonight, and good luck with your practice, and we're glad to have you at AHN in Pittsburgh.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me, Dr. Pfeiffer.
Okay, and we'll do it again. This is Medical Frontier saying good night, and we'll be back in 1 week.
Medical Frontiers was an informational program sponsored by the Allegheny Health Network. The information featured on Medical Frontiers was intended solely to further the public's general knowledge of current developments in the field of medicine and should not be relied upon as offering advice, diagnosis, or opinions as to any individual treatment or problem. Nothing should replace the relationship that you maintain with your personal physician.